Secondly, why do we worship on the first day of the week? Do we worship because the church, and I'll say specifically, and hopefully won't offend anybody, the Catholic Church did change the day from Saturday to Sunday. But as Christians, we don't acknowledge that.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the conclusion of the reason Christians worship on the first day of the week. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of the reason Christians worship on the first day of the week.
They say that when believers worship on Sunday, they are changing the Sabbath day from Saturday to Sunday. This is not true. Because clearly, and see, saints, here's where you got to get it. If you miss it, then you're going to miss the message today. Clearly, the Sabbath is a day of rest. The seventh day is a day of rest. And Sunday is a day of worship. Now, somebody challenged me when I taught this at another point in time, and they said, well, the Jewish people did other things on the Sabbath day other than rest. And that's true. You know, they might have had some instruction. They might have had some worship. They might have had some prayer. But the key that we see in the Sabbath day is that it was a day of rest. And that's the important thing to remember about the Sabbath day. Those who observe the Saturday Sabbath do many other things on that day, such as worship, instruction, but unmistakably, the primary focus of the Sabbath is rest. In the Old Testament, we see that God established Saturday as the Sabbath. It was the day of rest for his people. Therefore, when Christians worship on Sunday, it is by no means are we trying to change the Sabbath from Saturday to Sunday. We're not trying to change anything. We never said that don't honor the Sabbath day. Christians never said disrespect the Sabbath day. Now, I want to show you something here in a second. Some things have happened in the history of the church that have caused people to think that. Believers should acknowledge the fact that God worked 6 days and rested on the seventh day. And not only that, but God sanctified the seventh day for people to set aside as a day of rest. So now, why in the world would we as Christians want to change something that God has sanctified? We're not trying to change the Sabbath day. And so it's important to understand that. Why do we worship on the first day of the week? Well, first of all, it's not to change the Sabbath day from Saturday to Sunday. Secondly, why do we worship on the first day of the week? Do we worship because the church, and I'll say specifically, and hopefully won't offend anybody, the Catholic Church did change the day from Saturday to Sunday. But as Christians, we don't acknowledge that. Now, there was a council that came together, and it was called the Council of Laodicea. And they came together in 364 AD. And they came up with all these rules and regulations for the church, these decrees or canons. And they actually implemented a canon that said this, and I put it up here on the screen. It says, Christians must not Judaize by resting on the Sabbath. So what does that mean? That means that you shouldn't follow the law by resting on the Sabbath. But you must work on that day. Rather, honoring the Lord's day, which would be the first day of the week, Sunday. And if they can, by resisting, resting, then as Christians. So what they're saying is, we need to rest on the first day of the week. that we need to change the day of rest from Saturday to Sunday, and we need to rest the first day of the week. And then they went on to say this. Now, again, this is the church. But if any shall be found to be Judaizers, which is worshiping on Saturday, let them be anathema from Christ. Or what? Cursed. Accursed from Christ. So in the history of the church, and see, you got to be careful, because people that try to say that you shouldn't worship on Sunday, what they'll say, well, do you know that it was the church that actually changed the day of worship? That they did, right here, I'm showing you. So if you ever get into a discussion with anybody, if you ever get into an argument with anybody, and they say the church changed the day of worship, they would be partially right. But it was the Catholic Church that changed it. You know, the true church, that there was always a remnant that was faithful to Christ, that abided by the guidelines of the gospel, and that followed and that worshiped Christ. And so, yes, it was changed by certain groups, but the church as a whole never changed it. So we don't worship on the first day of the week because some council changed the day. I'm going to show you in a second why. You say, Pastor, now when are you going to get to why we worship on the first day? All right. Hey, hang in there. I'm going somewhere. But I wanted to lay this groundwork because, and I think about that when I went back and took these books, and I just began to collect them. The people who handed them out came up to me and started questioning me. Well, don't you believe that Saturday is the Sabbath? Now, I guess because they deal with a lot of Christians that believe it was changed, that the Sabbath was changed to the first day of the week, then I guess that, see, I mean, if you read this book right here, you'll be loaded to argue with any Christian that tries to argue for the Sabbath being the first day. You, man, I tell you what, the guy that wrote this little book, he did his homework, he did his research, and if you take this book against the average Christian, you can blow him away. And I'll say this, if you take this book and line up against the average preacher, you can blow him away. But they didn't know who they was. No, I'm just kidding. So the first thing I told them, when she challenged me with that, I said, yeah, I do believe that Saturday is the Sabbath day. I do believe that was a day of rest. And so there was, you know, that right there cut the whole argument. You know, there was no more argument after that. Because, and then I went back and, well, you know, I realized what the church did. That the church did this, but it was a certain group of people that gathered together and came up with this. It wasn't the body of Christ at large. Third, do Christians worship on the first day of the week because the early believers gathered on the first day of the week? And there's two scriptures that talk about the church gathering on the first day of the week. Acts 20 and verse 7 says, upon the first day of the week when the disciples came together to break bread. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, Paul talks about when we should give. He says, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay in store as God has purposed him. All right? So some people say, well, we should worship on the first day of the week because that's when the early church worshiped on the first day of the week. Well, you know what? That might be true. But I could go through and I could show you, and I put them here for you. They're in your notes. There's a multitude of scriptures, right, where early Christians worshiped on the Sabbath day, on Saturday, right? Acts 13, 42 through 43, Acts 16, 13, Acts 17, 2, Acts 18, 4. These were Christians, and they were worshiping on Saturday. So for us to say, well, we worship, and I've heard Christians use this argument before, we worship on the first day of the week because that's when the early church worshiped. Oh, really? Well, I mean, the Bible definitely says that Christians worshiped on Saturday. As a matter of fact, if you really want to know the truth, when did Jesus Christ worship? On Saturday. All right? So for us to say, well, We as a church, we are worshiping on Saturday, on Sunday, because that's when the early church worshiped. Well, you know, wrong. Why do we as Christians worship on Sunday? Christians worship on Sunday, the first day of the week, because this is when Jesus Christ rose from the dead. That's why we worship on the first day of the week. We're not worshiping on the first day of the week to try to overturn the Sabbath. The Sabbath was established by God. We're not trying to overturn that. We don't worship on the first day of the week because some council said that change the day from Saturday to Sunday. We don't worship on the first day of the week because the early Christians supposedly worshiped on the first day of the week. There's only one reason why Christians worship on the first day of the week. It's because we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so if you want to continue to keep the Sabbath day, hey, there's nothing wrong with that. People that continue to keep the Sabbath, there's nothing wrong with that. But if you are keeping it and you're telling other people that because they worship on Sunday that they're disobedient to God or that they have received the mark of the devil, then that's another issue altogether. And so as Christians, we thank God for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. As Christians, we not only come to church on Easter, but we come to church every Sunday to celebrate the fact that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And so that every time we get together, every Sunday we get together is a celebration to say, thank you, Lord, that I once was lost and now I'm found. I thank you, Lord, for dying on the cross. Thank you, Lord, for being buried in a borrowed tomb. Thank you, Lord, for rising from the dead for me. And so every Sunday, we should reflect on that. And we shouldn't, you know, again, see, I got, and if you want it, I got about 5 articles. I was going to have them all ready today, but I didn't get a chance. 5 articles that talk about Christians worshiping on Sunday. And it's a powerful, powerful work that's come together to help us understand the power of the resurrection. So why is it that Christians worship on the first day? Because of the resurrection. Now let me say 4 things about this resurrection. And every Sunday, we should meditate on this. Every Sunday, we should think about this. That we are celebrating the fact that our Savior lives. That the songwriter said, I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living no matter what men may say. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives. He lives salvation to impart. I don't know about you. You ask me how I know he lives? I talked to him this morning. You ask me how I know he lives? I woke up last night and talked to him through the night. You ask me how I know he lives? He lives within my heart. And so we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The first thing I want to say is that it was an actual resurrection. See, men have tried to deny the resurrection, and they said that, well, Jesus passed out on the cross, that he shed a lot of blood, and he was exhausted from being up the night before, and that when he was on the cross, he just passed out. And then they thought he was dead, and they took him off the cross, and they put him in the tomb and rolled a 2,000-pound stone in front of the door. And while he was in there, the coolness of the tomb revived him. And he got up like Superman going into the phone booth and rolled the stone away. Now, you know, there's a lot of problems with that. First of all, John said that I saw him die on the cross. John said that he said it is finished, that he gave up the ghost. Next, we see that a Roman soldier came and took a spear and jabbed him up underneath his rib cage, punctured his heart, and poured out the spear, and then came water and blood flowing out of his side. Now, I don't know how many people can have their heart totally punctured with a spear and continue to live. But that's what scholars would have us to believe. And then they put him in a tomb. All right, now here he was, you're weak already. How in the world is he going to be able to roll away a 2,000-pound stone from in front of the tomb? And not only that, but the scripture tells us that there was a Roman guard that was set out in front of the tomb. And these men were literally trained to kill anybody that came close to the tomb. So you mean to tell me that he rolled the stone away real quietly, right? And then he got out? Come on, man. You know, that's the only, but yet and still, that's what people would have us to believe. Then some people would have us to believe, well, the ladies went to the wrong tomb. That when they went to the tomb, they went to the wrong tomb, and they saw an empty tomb, and they said, well, he's not here, that he's risen. Then there's another theory that was put out very early, that his disciples stole the body. Now, keep in mind, these are the same guys on the night before that ran when Jesus was crucified. They all fled. Now, where did this boldness come at overnight that they're going to take on the Roman guard, right? No, my brothers and sisters, we need to come to the fact and we need to come to the realization that it was an actual resurrection. That Jesus Christ, according not only to the biblical record, but I put in your notes here, according to the historical record, he rose from the dead. Flavius Josephus, who was a Jewish historian, wrote about the fact that there was a man named Jesus Christ who rose from the dead. And so as we celebrate the resurrection, we celebrate the fact that it was an actual resurrection. Secondly, we celebrate the fact that it was a bodily resurrection. Many people say, well, you know, Jesus didn't raise in his body. He just raised spiritually. And then he fired up all of his disciples, and they had this same spiritual resurrection in their heart. When I read my Bible, it said that he walked through a door. When I read my Bible, it says that he said, look at the wounds in my hands, in my side, in my feet. When I read my Bible, I read where he sat down and ate with the disciples. When I read my Bible, I read that the ladies came and they grabbed a hold of him and he said, don't cling to me. When I read my Bible, I read that he had a literal body and that his body was not in the tomb. And that when Jesus rose from the dead, all that were left in there were the grave clothes. Many of you may have seen the newscast last week where they were talking about the Shroud of Turin, which is supposedly the grave garment that covered Jesus whenever he rose from the dead. And there's the image of a man that's embedded into the grave clothes, and the evidence is that it could have been Jesus. Now, you know, I'm not going to stand here and say 100% sure that it was him, but the chances are pretty good from what the historians say that this could have been the actual grave cloth of Jesus Christ. And so when we think about that, that he rose bodily from the grave. That when we as Christians come every Sunday and we worship him, we are worshiping a God who was dead and is now alive. And every Sunday when we come, there ought to be, every Sunday when we come, there should be some reflection on Jesus Christ. There should be never be a service that we go through and don't say anything about Jesus Christ. I remember I was listening to Evie Hill, who passed away several years ago. He had invited Jesse Jackson to come and preach for him on a Sunday evening. And when Jesse Jackson walked in, everybody stood up and started clapping. And Evie Hill told him, Look, now, all y'all, sit down. Sit down. He said, Jesse's not going to come up here and get more praise than Jesus. He said, we're going to worship Christ. We're going to worship Jesus Christ. And so there should be every Sunday, we should focus on Jesus Christ. Every Sunday, we should lift up Jesus Christ, who rose from the grave in bodily form. The third thing we see and we worship in remembrance of Christ is that it was a glorious resurrection. That when Jesus rose from the dead, that he could walk through doors. Remember on that one occasion, the disciples, they were all afraid. And the Bible specifically says that the door was locked. And Jesus, all of a sudden, appeared right in the middle of them. Now, I don't know how he got there, whether he just did one of those bewitched things, right? Tingle, 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 and got there. I don't know if he did that or if he just walked right through the wall. But he appeared in the midst of them. And so this lets us know that he had a glorious body. And then in Romans chapter 6 and verse 9, it says that he died, but he lives again, and that he'll die no more. That's a glorious resurrection. And then finally, we see that it was a unique resurrection. There are several references in the Bible to people who passed away and were raised again. The widow's son at Zarephath, the Shulamite's son, Jairus' daughter, the young man of Nain, Lazarus, Tabitha, and Eutychus. They all died and were resurrected. They were raised from the dead. But you know one thing about all of them? They all died again. Every last one of them died again. But look what Jesus says in Revelation chapter 1, in verse 18. Revelation chapter 1, in verse 18. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. And so Jesus had a unique resurrection. He rose never to die again. So why do we worship on the first day of the week? Why do we worship on Sunday? Oh, no. It's not to change the Sabbath day. God established the Sabbath day as a day of rest. And people should honor that. I tell people, everybody should have a Sabbath. I know it might be controversy if you have a Sabbath other than Saturday with some people, but I believe God set an example and that God worked 6 days and he rested, and I believe that he's trying to send us a message to let us know that we need to have a day of rest. And Monday is my day of rest. I don't do anything on Monday. I put my sweats on and I rest on Monday. All right, now I don't know what your day of rest is, but all of us, according to follow the biblical pattern, to follow the biblical mandate, we should have a day of rest. And if you want to take Saturday as your day of rest, then you go ahead and do that. But the church that does not worship on Sunday because we are trying to change the Sabbath. Get that in your mind. We are not trying to change the Sabbath. Secondly, we don't worship on Sunday because some council changed the day from Saturday to Sunday. We don't worship on Sunday because some people believe that's what the early church did. We worship on Sunday because that is the day of the week that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And every week is a celebration of his resurrection.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Join us next time for the first half of The Exceeding Greatness of His Power Toward Us. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, The Reason Christians Worship on the First Day of the Week, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Reason Christians Worship on the First Day of the Week. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Reason Christians Worship on the First Day of the Week. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.